Why, yes, it is. It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you every week by Anderson Insurance Agency on this Thursday, February 8th, 2024, Super Bowl week as the Chiefs get ready for the Niners on Sunday. And, Brian, obviously a disappointing loss for KU on Monday against Kansas State. And it's interesting. I went back last Friday. We were talking on the show, and the day after we talked with you last Thursday, and we focused a lot on the showdown with Houston, and rightfully so, and we mentioned the Sunflower Showdown on Monday night. And I said on Friday, I said, win or lose, if K-State wins or loses at Oklahoma State, Kansas State is going to give Kansas their best shot in Manhattan. It's going to be, they're going to be desperate. There's going to be a sense of urgency. And Kansas, if they beat Houston on Saturday, which I anticipated they would, then they are going to be coming off a tough, hard-fought win against a great team. And it's a really good spot for Kansas State. Not that KU would be overlooking K-State because they lost their last year in overtime. But I thought the formula was there for K-State to play their best and try to save their season and catch KU. And I tell you, it played along those lines. And then when Kansas was up 11, I thought, okay, here's the chance to really change things so it doesn't end up being a repeat of the year before. But then they go on 11-0 run, and at that point it was game on. Did you have any kind of inkling or feeling going into that matchup on Monday that K-State was in a decent spot considering how the schedule fell and everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could read the tea leaves a mile away that was going to be their Super Bowl. It always is, no matter how good their season is going or how poorly as it may be. And you had a feeling that after all of the physical and emotional energy expended on Saturday, that it had a chance to be a letdown game. I wouldn't say we looked ahead,
right?
Because our next game isn't until Saturday, and we weren't thinking about College Game Day or anything like that. It's just a quick turnaround and a letdown more than anything. And hard to get back up, especially when you're as thin as Kansas has ever been in terms of the bench and all of that. I mean, he had two starters that played 44 minutes, another played 43 minutes. And when you just emptied your bucket physically and emotionally on Saturday, it's really hard to get back up and go out there and play a rival who you know has had this game circled since the schedule came out. And, you know, that's not making excuses. And, you know, Bill is unwilling to dive too much into that, though he did say the same thing I just said. But then he qualifies it by saying, but K-State had to play Saturday too, which is true, but they played the last place team, you know, and lost. And the KU-Houston game was this epic built-up thriller that Kansas handled, obviously, but you just really empty your bucket going through that. And to play 48 hours later and have to go to overtime and all that, we saw an effort out of Kansas that was not even close to what they're capable of. And I'll just come out and say it. To me, that was the most disappointing loss of the season, more so than UCF, more so than West Virginia. And I don't say that with any disrespect to Kansas State, but you work so hard to finally pull even with Houston in the standings, and now you just got to go 7-2 on the back nine, and you give one right back to a Wildcat team that I think even the most realistic and honest of Wildcat fans would tell you is not close to the talent they had a year ago. So disappointing for sure. And it's great that we get the revenge game before it's all said and done, which will actually be KU senior night. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, that's bogeying or double bogeying a hole on the back nine that you needed to par or birdie. And I don't know that you get it back unless you not only win in Waco and Lubbock, but maybe win in Houston. You put yourself in that thin of ice. As Bill Self said last night on Hawk Talk, 13-5 is what it's going to take to win this thing outright. That means you can only lose one more time. And your last game of the season is at a top-5 Houston team. So that means you pretty much have to rattle off 7 in a row if you want any type of margin heading into that one. And so that's where stubbing your toe on Monday was really, really detrimental to the league title hopes. But could you share the league at 12-6? Absolutely. I think that's realistic. Mm-hmm. But, boy, you don't want to be in that spot hoping for a lot of help and no longer controlling your own destiny. So that's why I say Monday was the most difficult to swallow loss of the season. And I say that with all due respect to K-State, Coach Tang and his team. But yeah, that one stings as bad as any we've had.
Yeah, and you look at the Big 12 standings right now: Houston 7-3, Baylor 6-3, Iowa State with a good road win the other night 6-3, and then Kansas 6-4, TCU, Texas Tech both 5-4, and of course the one thing that really stands out about Kansas is 1-4 on the road in the Big 12. And you look at those losses in the Big 12; they easily could have gone Kansas's way. But these are the type of games in the past where Kansas finds a way to win those road games, thus. They won all those Big 12 championships. This year's team has not been able to get over the hump on the road and win these close games in hostile environments. I want to talk about this, kind of goes together, okay, and see what you think about it. But, you know, it is a quick turnaround, and yes, K-State had a turnaround, and they had a road game there at Stillwater, and they had three guys play over 40 minutes on Monday night as well. One played all 45 minutes, so that should be noted. They got about 45 minutes from their bench, basically two guys off the bench that are pseudo starters as well. So that's kind of a wash in regards to those substitutions. Kansas obviously has a drop off when they go to the bench. You and I've talked about this ad nauseum for a while. Kansas only got 20 minutes of playing time for the bench on Monday night. Elmarco had under 5 minutes of playing time. Furphy, as I predicted, would maybe struggle in a hostile environment like that was on Monday. And he did, shooting the ball, didn't have a great night per se. And I don't blame him not picking on him. It's just, if I was 17 to 18, I would have done much worse than he did the other night. I'd let that be noted as well. But in regards to the bench that we've talked about, I'm looking at Kansas' schedule, and it really, there's one more big hurdle to overcome in regards to the scheduling based off of the way the team is playing with the bench minutes that are provided. So hang with me with this. But you play Saturday, whether it's home or on the road, you played at home against Houston in this situation, and then you did not have to fly on a road trip, but you did have to turn around and play a rivalry game against K-State. It was a Saturday Monday, the big Monday. And Kansas has one more of those situations left, and it's coming up this weekend. You got Saturday, you could have the huge emotional win over Baylor at home. Now you got to go, quick turnaround on Monday at Texas Tech. But after that, Kansas has a Saturday, a Tuesday, which that's a Saturday-Tuesday back-to-back home games. Then they have a Saturday at Baylor, and then Tuesday back home against Kansas State. So that's not a Saturday-Monday. And then they go to Houston on a Saturday to close out the season, as you mentioned. So what I'm trying to do here is connect those dots and say that clearly it makes sense, logically, that if you got guys playing a ton of minutes and you playing some big emotional game on a Saturday, Monday's not an ideal situation to turn around and play, especially on the road. And Kansas has one more of those situations. But if they could somehow pull out the next two, beat Baylor, go to Lubbock, and beat Texas Tech, they will not be faced with that same situation the rest of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's helpful. Coach Self is resting the entire team now for two full days after these Saturday-Monday turnarounds. The previous week, he just rested the starters. But he's doing everything he can to tinker with it. So I think there is some merit to that and reason for hope. But the bottom line is, you got to be playing these guys less minutes in game too.
Yes, yes.
And I asked Coach straight up, you know, what can these bench guys do to earn a little more trust and a little longer time out there? And he made it a different kind of answer than what I was thinking. He said, it's on him to let the starters know how close you are to the finish line. And by that, he means how close you are to getting a breather and able to come out. He said, if to use a vocational work-related metaphor or analogy, if you show up to work at 8 a.m. and you don't know if you're working until 5 p.m., until midnight, whatever, it's hard to pace yourself and go super hard if you're preparing for a marathon or a sprint or something in between. You don't know. And so he said he himself needs to do a better job of telling the guys, and not just Hunter, who he's gotten consistent rest for, but Kevin, KJ, DeJuan, hey, okay, I'm going to pull you here in about two more minutes. Give me all you got for about two more minutes, and then you're going to get a rest, that kind of thing. He really didn't answer the question last night about what Nick or, you know, somebody like Elmarco could do to earn a little more trust, which could have been that he was just really invested in his analogy, mm-hmm. or it could have been that, honestly, those guys, hey, it's February the 6th, 7th, whatever today is, they should have by now emerged with a larger sample size of trustable games where you know, the head coach can turn to them and rely on them. The fact that we're having this conversation and it's almost Valentine's Day, yeah, that's super concerning. And obviously, I don't know at this point if we're going to get at all what we hoped to get out of that bench. You know, and again, we've talked about this previous episodes, and you hate to keep going back to it because it doesn't do you any good, but this roster was constructed in April and May of last spring, including a five-star transfer from Texas mm-hmm. at the guard position that was either going to start or he was going to be the ultimate six-man energy guy. And when off-the-court incidents led to him leaving and needed to leave, you know, that completely changes the dynamic of what you thought you'd be. So for anybody that thought, you know, oh, well, Bill thought he could get it done with nine players, it was never meant to be that. So that's just a loss that looms larger and larger when we have these games like Monday where you got two guys playing 44 minutes and another playing 43. At some point, the Nick Timberlake we saw score 12 first-half points in West Virginia, gosh dang, if you could have half of that effort, half of that consistency, half of that trust and faith and confidence in him, it makes you a much more dynamic team because suddenly it's not just that he's giving you more. It means your starters are way fresher in crunch time, and you don't have Kevin McCullough shooting 1 of 5 from the free throw line because he's got dead legs and still a bit of a nagging knee injury. He's much fresher. So I hope Marco, I hope Nick, I hope they can do enough. But the truth of the matter is you listed off what's ahead of us on our friendly schedule in terms of dates.
Yeah.
It's unfriendly in terms of opponents.
Yes.
Which means games like Oklahoma State, where those guys can play with, you know, a longer leash, so to speak, and play through mistakes, like you don't have those on the schedule anymore. Our next game that you would expect Kansas to win by double digits isn't until the K-State game. And yeah, I know they just beat us, but let's call it like it is. That's senior night in the fog, and that would be the next time you're taking on an unranked team at home where they could stretch it out a little bit because everybody else is ranked. You know, everybody
yeah.
else is, you know, projected 5 or 6 seed or something. So, I mean, this is like, as Bill Self said, the rest of our schedule is basically a second-round NCAA tournament game all the way to an Elite Eight Final Four type game. And so that's where we say the margin for error is completely gone. But that doesn't mean hope is lost.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you know, we got to find a way to get the most out of the 5 guys that are carrying the bulk of the water for this team right now, and give them a little bit of relief here and there from the reserves that Self's got to find a way to trust a little bit more. And it's not just on him to give a little more, you know, to those guys. It's on them to come in and be consistent. I mean, when El Marco came in and fired a fastball off the backboard, missed the rim by 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I understand why Bill would struggle to trust him after that. And he immediately turned to the bench and told the next guy to get in. And in the time it took to get another dead ball, El Marco made a really good play on a baseline mm-hmm. drive with a rim finish. And that's what you want to see. But the damage was kind of done based on the previous shot. And that's where the ball coach, 21 years deep here at Kansas, he's not had one quite like this, February the 7th, where you're still trying to have any kind of faith in those guys 6 through 9. And I say that, he's got faith in Parker Brown for sure. But it's fleeting with everybody else on that bench from one night to the next, and that's why you see such a quick hook so many times. And probably Monday was the best example of that.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. So your good friend Miller, my son Miller, as you like to call him, he told me as we were watching the game on Monday night, he goes, Kansas is not a national championship team. You know, that's what he said. And I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of people that think that after watching the struggles on the road. And I had a friend that sent me a text, and it must have been one of the first times he's seen KU play this year. He said after the Houston win, he told me, he said, this Kansas team can win it all. And 2 days later, I have my oldest son saying, this team can't win it all. Isn't that crazy? But that's how sports is, right? You look so great one day, and then 48 hours later, you have all these issues because you're only as good as your last game. Having said that, I know it's way premature to probably be talking about this, but it is a sports talk show, so we can do that, is that how many times have we seen Kansas win the Big 12 but not go as deep in the tournament as they would like? or not accomplish the ultimate goal, getting to the Final Four, winning a national championship. And I told my oldest son the other day, you know, hey, man, a couple years ago, did you think Kansas was going to win the national championship? Because I didn't. And I think a lot of KU fans didn't think they were going to win it. They probably thought they maybe had a chance. And so that's why it's always premature to give up on anybody about this or that. And I said, you know, if you get the right matchups and you have four outstanding players with experience and Furphy, you know, if he does what he's capable of doing and you'll have the longer media timeouts, you will have to play two games in 3 days. That's the worst situation you're going to have. Why can't Kansas make a deep run? And maybe they don't win the Big 12. God forbid they don't win the Big 12 and they finish third or fourth in the Big 12. God forbid they're not a number one seed, Brian, because we're pretty spoiled KU fans when you get a number one seed every single freaking year. But maybe they're a three seed. But maybe it's a better draw. Maybe they're a three seed and they're under the radar. And I know there's been some KU teams over the years that have been on the radar a little bit that have done very well. They've gone to the Final Four. Should we be looking at this a little bit more optimistically and not putting all our eggs in the basket of winning the Big 12? Even though it's nice and all, at the end of the year, if you lose in the second round of the tournament, a lot of people kind of forget that you won the Big 12 title.
No, Miller's right. We're doomed.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we're done with this conversation.
Just kidding. No. Just kidding. Please don't cut that highlight. I was just joking. I actually think that everything you said makes a ton of sense. I think that, you know, March Madness, it all comes down to matchups and the draw you get anyway. I mean, look at 2022. The bracket opened up right in front of us with the teams we got to play and some of the injuries they were dealing with. And Kansas peaked at the right time. And Bill Self, if anything, has found a way to get his guys to round into form, usually in mid-February, and they play their best basketball heading in. It doesn't mean they always go far, but usually, you know, in Bill we trust, he finds a way to get the optimal version of the team heading into the month of March, and it's a matter of are they healthy and do they have any gas left in the tank. That would be my concern. Yeah. You could say that this gauntlet of the Big 12 is going to make us so battle-tested and tough and all that. I hope we've got something left.
Yeah.
I hope that Kevin McCullough's, you know, knee injury, his bone bruise is in the past by then, but you're not a limping to the finish line type team. I think everything you said about the longer timeouts during the in-game helps you a lot. Suddenly you can play guys 38 minutes and it feels more like 34 because every time they come to the bench, it's a 3.5-minute TV break, and folks say, come on, that's just 60 seconds difference. Does it really make a difference? It does, because how many times do you see Bill Self make a substitution right before a media timeout like the under eight? He'll bring a guy out at 8:30 to give him 30 extra seconds and then the full media timeout, and then he's right back in. By having those longer March Madness TV breaks, it keeps you from having to do that. So that's big. I think the one thing that concerns me in comparing the 2022 team that flipped the switch to this team is 2022, Remy Martin was a 2,000-point career scorer at a major conference school, Power 5 school. Nick Timberlake, you know, he would have to be, because I don't think it's going to be El Marco at this point, Nick Timberlake would have to be that guy that flips the switch to give you that extra shot in the arm heading into the final month. It's a leap from Towson to Kansas that has proven to be as big as the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't think he can still give us something special. But Remy took over multiple games. And I don't know that we're going to get that lift from this year's team to that degree.
Right.
But by the time we get to March, we're getting significantly more out of Nick and El Marco? Absolutely. But not to the degree that you got from Remy.
Yep.
So that means those five starters are going to have to be even better. Hunter Dickinson is going to have to be even more dominating, and he knows that. And he took a lot of accountability and responsibility the other night after the loss, and it's not that he had a bad game, but he knows there's other things he can do where he probably has to carry more weight than what he thought. Hey, here's a good bit of news. DeJuan Harris has been fantastic the last 2 weeks, and I would have told you the 2 weeks before that, he didn't look like the same guy.
Yeah.
And he even said about 10 days ago with me when the Bob Cousy Award finalist came out, he says, I haven't been as good this year as I was last year. I got to be way better. And he's been way better ever since he said that. So he's trending up. KJ's been a great story. Kevin's got to get healthy, no doubt. He's got to get his confidence back. But our starting five, I mean this sincerely, our starting five is as good as any starting five in America.
Right.
And so under the scenario you just laid out with the longer TV timeouts and, you know, everything now, you're leaving it all on the table at the center of the floor because it's do or die time, win or go home time. You'd see a ratcheted up several notches version of Kansas like we saw on Houston when they came out with their hair on fire. That team can absolutely go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely can. They just don't have margin for error
yep.
if foul trouble happens or fatigue sets in or whatever. So those are the hurdles. But you tell Miller that his good buddy Brian said, don't give up on these guys just yet. In Bill, we trust. We still have the best coach in America, and there's no arguing that. And if what happened the night after we lost in Manhattan is any indication of how this could go, and I'm talking about North Carolina losing at home to Clemson,
mm-hmm.
who previously was like 1-65 in the Dean Dome, if that's not an indication of how wide open college basketball is this year, I don't know what is. So everybody's losing. It's going to be a rare year where your ones and your two seeds have, you know, in some cases, twice as many losses as other years where you go to Selection Sunday and teams are like 31-2. You're not going to see that this year. So give these guys a little bit more patience.
Yep.
Understand that what Wade said may be true. We might finish third in the Big 12. That's okay. What you don't like as a three seed on March Madness, should they be that, is you got to play a two seed in the Sweet 16
right.
and then a one seed in the Elite Eight. And anybody on that one or two line is a national title contender. And so that's the real advantage. You prolong the silver bullet game one round deeper by staying on that one line. But then again, teams can get upset. You never know. That's certainly what happened going back a couple of years when Auburn lost. So those are my thoughts on it. I'm as positive as anybody, and so I still think that there's a great chance we can make a lot out of this season. But, boy, it would look a lot better if we could get a little bit more out of that Kansas bench.
Yeah, and by the way, Miller's more likely to listen to you than his father, so that is a good thing. I'll pass along, have him listen to the podcast. One more question for the off the wall for you, and that is your thoughts on Baylor. I mean, Baylor is near the top of the standings in the Big 12. They've lost a few games that, quite frankly, they should have won, and they should really be sitting alone atop the Big 12. Very talented team that comes into Lawrence. Back-to-back Saturdays where KU's going to be tested.
Yeah, no doubt. And Bill Self was talking last night about how this could be, in his opinion, the best offensive team in our conference. And last Saturday we played the best defensive team in our conference. It's a completely different challenge one week to the next. They've got two rookies in this lineup that could both be top 20 NBA draft picks, two freshmen that have come in and, according to Bill, you know, are flashing that much that one's a high lottery pick and the other could be top 20. And so you're going to see explosive scoring. You're going to see guard matchups where, gosh, I hope Kevin's healthy and I hope the one is on point because we'll be as tested there as we've been. But you know what? You're going to see a turned up Allen Fieldhouse host an ESPN College Game Day for the 12th time with a team that has heard all week about the egg they laid on Monday and how they got to get it back. And I hope we never get to a point of expectancy and complacency with the home games where we just assume
yep.
we're going to flip a switch at home because you don't want to be in that mindset. But, man, is this a different team at home. Oh, my gosh, there's never been a more glaring example of how different we are in a given season, home versus away. So I'm really hopeful this is a big bounce-back game and another statement victory on a Saturday. But like you said, if you truly want to stay in the league race, you got to turn around and go back it up in Lubbock. And let me tell you, Monday night, since we won't talk again until after that, that will be as raucous of an environment as we go into all year in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have Kevin McCullough
in
their sights, in whatever you gun shooters call mm-hmm. it, in the crosshairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're really locked in on him with every jeer, every taunt, every sign, every horrible thing they can say. Because obviously they're still bitter he left. And now that he's an All-American candidate, they're twice as bitter. So that's going to be the tale on Monday. And can Kansas rise above and overcome that? That may put us right back in the thick of where we want to be in the league chase if you win these next two. But boy, those are two huge ifs.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question of Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks. As you know, Super Bowl 58 is this Sunday. It's the Chiefs and the Niners, a rematch at Super Bowl 54. Obviously, you are very interested in the game as you're a Chiefs fan, a Mahomes fan, as I am. So the question off the wall is, what are you looking forward to the most that doesn't require the actual game? Okay, so what I mean is, it could be commercials, it could be the halftime show, it could be something that you're looking for, whether Taylor Swift's going to show up. What is something you're looking forward to when you watch the broadcast, whether it be this particular Super Bowl or maybe just in general any Super Bowl outside of the actual game on the field?
Wow, good question. Well, I enjoy seeing the spectacle that it is, and the collection of former NFL players to come back, celebrities, all that. I mean, it's like the world stops for 4 hours and everybody tunes in. Everybody tries to get to Vegas. Everybody's a part of this. And so I'll be excited to see, you know, as Mahomes goes for his third, the collection of iconic stars, you know, lining the field on the sidelines and who they show in the booth. I'm not as caught up in the Taylor Travis love affair as you and Miller are. I haven't taken the over.
Not me.
TV references or whatever. I don't know what the line is on that, but I'm sure it's double digits on how many times she'll be shown. But I haven't gotten swept up into that. But I think it is neat to see just the spectacle. And I do watch the ads. I think the ads are some of the most well done, marketing we see all year in any form or fashion. And there have already been some Super Bowl ads released that are really, really good, one of which involving Tua trying to throw a ball over a mountain. And you'll have to check that one out. I couldn't even tell you who it's for, which goes back to the old, we've had this conversation.
That's not effective.
If an ad is hilarious, makes you laugh and you're entertained, but you don't know who it was for
right
at the end of those 30 seconds, was it really effective marketing?
No.
But yeah, there are some good ones I've already seen. So I'm looking forward to those. And then I think Vegas probably brings out even more star power and probably more debauchery as well,
yes,
to be honest, in a week of that stuff. But I think it's going to be neat to see maybe the biggest spectacle of celebrities that we've seen at a Super Bowl maybe ever, when you consider that Taylor Swift is there and she's not performing. And Usher, you know, obviously is going to bring a lot. So that's going to be fun. But looking forward to a great game. Obviously, want to see Patrick and the Chiefs do well. I'm intrigued by Brock Purdy, though, too. I think what a story. You know, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick in the draft at Iowa State. And it's truly a David versus Goliath matchup at the quarterback position, which is why I think, you know, most everybody is picking the Chiefs, even though they're technically two-point underdogs. That's just such a huge discrepancy in playoff experience and all of that. But Purdy, with everybody, including Cam Newton, counting him out, it'd be interesting to see if he can rise up with a sling and a stone and make a game out of this. So we'll see. But looking forward to it. And I'm going to actually be in Lubbock watching it with a bunch of converted Chiefs fans because we play the next day at Texas Tech. So that's going to be fun because that whole city used to be a Dallas Cowboys town and now painted red ever since Patrick's success.
That's awesome. Give me a quick final score. Who wins? What's the score?
Man, I think it's a game played in the 20s, and I think it's close. But we'll give it to Patrick, a 27-24 Chiefs win. But I think 49ers will put a more potent scare into them than what many are expecting.
Yep.
So we'll put it that way.
I agree with you as well. Hey, man, safe travels to Lubbock. Have a great call Saturday at home against Baylor. We'll talk about both those games next week with you.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency, the Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Hope you enjoyed the sports ticket today. As always, brought to you by Keeper Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for friendly and fast auto repair.